Chapter 5. A Pigsty to Cherish, or Not to Cherish. As Methuselah witnessed Katsumi unable to come to grips with whatever was occurring in front of him, he placed a hand on Katsumi's shoulder and told him, "As of right now, thou shalt not go into her as of yet. Thou'lt now married, and therefore shalt live with each other as I hath intended it when I created this planet 12,000 years ago." Katsumi rose up abruptly, eyes narrowed in fear as he just realized what had occurred. Married to Misagi, who was just as shocked as Katsumi was, and in the future bearing a child at Methuselah and his father's timing. This was insane to Katsumi. Never in a lifetime would Katsumi have ever made this consideration in his life, as aloneness was the norm. He asked Methuselah, "Art thou saying..." Methuselah knew. He nodded and told Katsumi, "Thine aloneness was an start to a journey I hath brought thee to. Misagi is but another piece of the puzzle that I hath created. Thine calling was apparent from the beginning, though thou hath not knoweth at this time." Katsumi was still stunned as to what he had just been witnessing. Not only was he to be a father of a seed that would date back to him, but also a purveyor of numerous nations once he knew what to do with all of it. Despite that being a huge ask for him, Katsumi was willing to ensure it would be a success without compromises that would end up backfiring on him. That said, Katsumi was also willing to open himself up if he had to. Despite this, it was still in his heart for aloneness, as that was how he learned how to be himself in the past, in the present, and what he would do in the future. Methuselah stood up and told Katsumi, Katsukun, and Misagi, "I have a duty to uphold, so I must bid ye adieu for the time being." Methuselah walked out and went on his merry way. As Katsumi, Katsukun, and Misagi sat on the couches in the living room, they were in awe at what they had just witnessed. Meanwhile, Katsumi was thinking about if he was being fooled, or if this was genuinely Methuselah in the flesh. Katsumi just stood up and went to the room, which was more his style now, and grabbed one of his weapons, his sai. He went out to his usual training spot to practice with them, as he always had done. Misagi followed him there, and it had since improved as Katsumi tested the true potential of this sort of thing. That said, however, Katsumi knew somewhat about how well his weapons would do for him, versus how destroyed they seemed to be. Misagi watched as Katsumi inspected his sai for any signs of damage. Katsumi always did this as a means to ensure they were up to par with the conventional standards before further scrutinizing them for even tiny flecks of damage. If he noticed major damage on them, he put them away and fixed them at a later date. If they had minor damage, he used them before putting them away to fix the minor damage to his sai or any other weapon. This was the same with all of them he had in his possession. As he read up from reminders on how to use the sai and check for any damage to them, Misagi was amazed at how detailed Katsumi was with his work on them. It was clear to her that Katsumi had always been willing to take the best care of his property to the best of his knowledge and ability in order to ensure maximum usefulness in any situation requiring it. Misagi, meanwhile, just watched in stunned silence as Katsumi dissected the sai to ensure it was to the best quality for the condition it was in. This was the first time she was doing this too, so Katsumi was very careful to be aware of it. As she watched in pure admiration, Katsumi just did what he normally would as if he were still alone, despite aloneness being supposedly outlawed now by Methuselah. As was tradition around these parts for him, Katsumi would then train on all possible situations for about a minute or two until he got them right. He even had moving targets stationed so he could be challenged more. As Misagi witnessed this happening, it was quite pellucid that Katsumi was of a calm mindset, which was required for any weapon, as recklessness would lead to mistakes and danger. This would be a huge mistake if he did not know what he was doing. As things seemed to have been going on well, Katsumi heard an explosion, which was near this current homestead. He tried to look from afar, and another smoke plume arose. Katsumi sighed, realizing that it was already too late. His previous homestead might have been compromised, but he was willing to check. Katsumi then took Misagi so he could have a witness and someone to be with in case anything went wrong. After arriving at the old homestead, nothing seemed off. He checked everywhere to ensure something was not destroyed, as he understood that it was now the job of those outside, the Bachenbach and Toramax, to protect it from any damage from this point onward. After he was satisfied with the result, he looked over and missed a crater on the ground. There did not seem to be anything of significance when it was blown, though Katsumi was not pleased with this hole in the first place. With a limpid goal in mind, he investigated it using a kit he brought in his bag, just in case something was altered. As he stuck this little paper-thin stick onto the ground, it wilted into a black charcoal hue, meaning a bomb of some kind was set off. While not precisely happy about it, Katsumi understood the assignment of whoever blew this thing up. It was to devalue his property, so it would not be worthful to any member of either the Toramax or the Bachenbach. After realizing that something had to have been wrong for the most part, Katsumi realized that this was nothing more than protecting him. This was confirmed when a voice said, "Please do not fret, friend." Katsumi turned and found this individual, a young, thin but muscular man with long golden beard and golden locks in a Viking-style braid. "I had just blown up that hole using sophisticated explosives. I was assigned to devalue the land of which you owned, so you could come back to it whenever you were ready." "That might not be possible for a long time, dear friend." Katsumi was blunt about it. "Fornwich Clip, I was given a new assignment from Methuselah, for he visited myself, this maiden, and her brother earlier, before this crater was made." "I thought Methuselah had already arrived earlier today." This burly Viking stroked his beard before asking Katsumi, "Did he wear a white robe and sandals during the daytime?" "From when I bowed at his feet, I saw he had sandals on." Katsumi remembered this, as he was the type of person to notice this sort of thing. "The robes he had were also white, though they were an off-white of sorts." "Off-white?" The Viking was intrigued at this description. "I knew Methuselah had gone ahead and worn an off-white on occasion, so I guess this was another one of these days. It is quite common to see him in a bright shade of white, although slightly darker shades were also worn, from what I remember of him." This confused Katsumi, so he asked the Viking, "How old do you happen to be if you remember this man from a far, far time ago?" "I am just under 4,000 years of age. About a year or two should do it." The Viking threw no curveballs, though Katsumi was slightly impressed at this man's age. There were beings that reached even the age of around 504,000 years of age, which was a long lifespan for this race in the grand scheme of things. Katsumi was only 5 and 20 years of age, so this was nothing special to him. "Was Methuselah on the earth 2,000 years ago? This I always wanted to know." Katsumi was now interested after seeing the result this got him. "Why, yay, I was around 9,64,001,000 years old when I witnessed his ministry, of which I was one of his disciples." "Disciples? As in 12 individuals who followed and taught what Methuselah had done?" Katsumi and Misagi were inarticulate at this revelation. This was one of the teachers who wrote a book that the fox folk had used for a long time. Though if anything, he was a fox, not a Viking elf. Katsumi looked at this man and asked him, "If this is the case, why did you turn into a Viking elf instead of your usual fox form?" "Young friend," the Viking sighed before telling him, "you do not want to know as of right now." Katsumi was stupefied at this short but candid answer. Why would this Viking tell him he would not want to know what turned him into a Viking elf? Katsumi looked down, knowing exactly a possibility as to why. He looked up at the Viking and asked him, "Was it the Bachenbach or Tormax using witchcraft to torment you and turned you into this violent form?" He knew Viking elves were violent when protecting their property and tribe mates. The Viking's eyes widened in a daze that hit him like a ton of bricks smashing against his face. Katsumi seemed to have figured out exactly why this man turned from a fox to an elf. "How did you know that?" Katsumi looked up at the man and asked him, "Do you know the name Kichiro Katsumi? Did you ever hear about this name in the past?"
"Nay, I have not. Why do you ask?"
The Viking was indeed ludicrously baffled as to what Katsumi was asking. This was when he stood up and rolled up one of his sleeves. On his bicep was a cradle of some sort, which signified a new life for a fox if they became a prophet. "Is this familiar?" Katsumi asked the Viking with genuine curiosity, as he thought the Viking would know this symbol on his bicep. The Viking was astounded at this. "That is the symbol of a fox prophet." The Viking's voice was barely above a whisper as he said this. He looked into Katsumi's eyes and asked him, "Are you the individual whom is to make a new great nation under Methuselah and the Creator?" Katsumi simply nodded and said, "Yea, I am. Methuselah had asked me to be a prophet who studied for a long time in a wooded forest, so as to learn everything the set-apart texts had to offer. This was mandatory for me since I was 16 years of age when I left Roquad village."
Roquad?
The Viking was still at a loss for words as Katsumi talked about the village he escaped from.
"As in the Roquad that would turn evil when I wrote first gun to Nelly's?"
Katsumi nodded before saying, "Yea, that Roquad. Scantinelli's was written and described exactly what happened to the village. That was why I departed, and this maiden with me followed me, not realizing it was first Scantinelli's that was in fulfillment, of which the elders in the village were less than decent beings. As you wrote in chapter 2, as was the tradition of the elders, who should not want, but desireth peace, and call destruction all at once."
"As was the tradition of the elders."
The Viking repeated this line, which took him a minute to piece together. He then realized that Katsumi knew where this was coming from.
"That was when I wrote in Scantanel, while I was pleading with the Scantanellis of Roquad Kingdom to not turn and scorn the Creator."
"My, how times have changed."
"I already know that from the addendum you wrote, and I took it, tested it, and applied it to Roquad Village." Katsumi was quite dedicated to the craft of teaching the set-apart text that was taught to him years ago. But maybe in a different light, and a more corrupt mindset than what he did now. There was nothing that could be done to stop it. As I found out later, it was the King of Westnith who put these elders in place, and not the people of the village, as was originally thought.
"I have not been to Roquad since. Has it been cursed after I was there?"
The Viking was now curious to see if his warnings were not followed by the people there.
"Nay, they have not, for the curse struck them during my childhood. It was likely that I was a chosen prophet of the Creator in Methuselah because of the curse, of which I was given the gift of sight to notice."
Katsumi recalled this horrible memory in some detail, though he had ultimately repressed it due to the horror of it.
"Was it, by chance, the great entitlement that you were talking about in the Book of Roquad, Chapter 5?
"I had indeed talked about similar in Roquad 5, wherein I warned about an event that would end up such a horror. It would be called the Great Entitlement."
The Viking knew what Katsumi was talking about, as it was highly likely that this event was already happening.
"I would imagine the fox folk had been destroyed during your childhood due to scorn against the Creator."
"It was much worse than that, friend."
Katsumi breathed deeply before continuing.
"There was a lot of murder, sex outside of marriage, homosexuality, infighting, war. Just the worst imaginable things
that could happen to a village. A village? The Viking questioned the village part. Did Roquad shrink ever since I was there?
Yea, it did.
Katami sighed before he continued.
That was part of the curse we received in Roquad, wherein we would be dried up by the time I was 3 years old.
He looked up at the Viking before continuing.
That was the representation of the Holstad River drying up, where Roquad is the source of the Holstad. You talked about that in the apocalyptic writings at the end of our set-apart text.
That was the sixth mud judgment.
The Viking attempted to remember what this was all about. Before asking Katami,
did you have the third spirit as a frog's occur yet?
I was preaching to the people, telling everyone to prepare for the third Mordor war.
That had already happened, and yet Wesneth was hugely involved in it. It was contrived by them so they could enforce an ecumenical society that followed the King of Wesneth. The Mark of Destruction.
Katami knew what the Mark of Destruction was, which was simply revering and obeying the King of Wesneth. Was this where the Didakaian mystery religion was enforced in the Seventh Mug Judgment against Wesneth?
So it seems we are in the Seventh Mug now, that all the spirits have been fulfilled.
The Viking now knew what was happening. He warned that this spirit was the worst, which would see some of the worst changes that Wesneth would ever see. And yet, their leadership would be fine due to their corruption. They were indeed the Didakai of the modern day, as they were the city on three plateaus. The Vikings started to realize more and more that there was a modern prophet in his midst, despite the fact that he never taught anything. Prophets from the Fox Folk tended to be solitary people who wrote books essentially teaching people the harsh reality of the situation they were in, being part of a curse by the Creator and Methuselah. This was why Methuselah visited Katami, and he realized that this was not a fake. As fakes as numerous as the stars came and went, but Katami always knew who they were, for witchcraft was how he recognized them. As was the case in any sort of stable person's mind, the Viking had something become clear. The Fox Folk who were solitary for long periods of time had the key to unlocking thousands to the Creator, but they could only write through books. Fox prophets were unable to teach, for they would be murdered by their own people, of which brainwashed people galore would be taking the mark. Once they took the mark, there was no coming back from it, as Fox people galore were fooled into it. While the Creator did not judge them, if this was something they did not know, those who knew but took it anyway were not so lucky. Katami was one of these Fox Folk who escaped the Mark of Destruction as a result of what he had seen. The great entitlement for the Fox Folk, due to the horror of the incident at all. As Katami and the Viking would go their separate ways, Misaki followed Katami back home. The Viking was just doing what Katami would have wanted. Just that Katami had no idea it was him who blew up the entirety of the ground. This was done so the Viking could help make such a low price for it, the Bachenbach and Tormax would not want it. Katami was satisfied as to what was happening, despite it triggering some trauma from his childhood that stuck deep for years to come. Then again, Katami would always be just who he was. As Katami walked back to his current base of operations, so to speak, he realized that he had not written anything yet. It was rare, but there was a prophet once in a blue moon who could not write anything, let alone teach anything to the Fox Folk, for they would kill him for either. Katami had recognized this, and he would notice that, since he had not written anything, he thought he was one of those types of prophets, called silent prophets in the set-apart texts. Katami, speaking so candidly with the Viking, made him agonize that he was a silent, as this type of prophet's shorthand. Silents were even more at risk of being taken out than regular prophets, known as Eve-sent prophets,
named after Yvesent the prophet, founder of the Book of Umbutonad. As he entered his home once again, he walked to his room, and since it was nighttime, he climbed onto his bed and rested. The next morning, Katami woke up as per the usual, despite the fact that he was willing to walk to his homestead again. He decided against it, as he knew it would be safe, especially thanks to people like the Viking. Even if there was some sort of explosion emanating from his homestead, he knew that it was just being devalued. It was done in order to prevent the Toramax or Bachenbach practitioners from buying the land off of Katami, of which he would kill any of them for. As he rose up from his bed and walked to the common area, he steeped his morning tea. This was normal for Katami, as fox people did not need to wait about an hour to consume caffeine, unlike humans who needed to do so. As he walked to the couch and set his cup on the coffee table, Misaki cuddled up to him. Looking around, he did not see Katakun, though Katami thought he was just running an errand of some kind. As he sipped on his tea, as per the usual for him, Katami thought deeply about the conversation he had with the Viking the previous day. It was the deepest he had ever gone to someone who knew exactly what they were writing about, which was a rare sight for fox folk. That being said, Katami was always willing to ensure that he had his word right, and that he would be able to live by it until the day he croaked. This interaction, after being with Methuselah, clearly sparked some deep thought within him, leading to something great that was bubbling in his life. He had no idea when it was to happen, but he faithfully awaited it, so that way he would be able to do this properly. Since it was a lunar day of rest for Katami, he did not tend to his gardens as he usually did, nor train with his weapons as was his norm. He relaxed from all of that during the day until sunset. Sunrise was when this day of rest started, while a majority of fox folk would start a day of rest on a specific day of the week at sunset, and the day after at sunset. A sunset-to-sunset deal was incompatible in Katami's eyes, and he was able to prove that in the set-apart texts. This was a twisting that was made by a separate group connected to the king, not from the Bachenbach or Toramax, but a group known as the Society of Machshelah, whom Methuselah was referred to by these people. They have openly mocked Methuselah, though it was likely Methuselah knew that and was waiting to destroy Wesneth until his warriors were ready to not fight them. Katami was never confrontational, except when he was being attacked by those destroying anything of value for him. If he was forced to defend himself, then he would do so in the harshest manner possible, as Methuselah called for in the books where his teachings were found to be sound, and went back to even older books. When Katami was in this state of peace, however, he was the gentlest of fox beings, despite being a silent prophet who was called to do what he did for a living. Despite all of that, however, Katami always strove to stick to his word. That was what Methuselah did, and Katami always yearned to follow his example in any manner he could. It was hard to do for the most part, but it was not really that difficult to do if one were to read more and more into it. Katami always did this during these days of rest, though since he had Misaki, whom he was now married to at this point, thanks to Methuselah appointing them so, Katami needed to change things slightly so he could accommodate for her, and in such a way that would be compatible with what Katami had already done on days like this. As the two just focused on the present, Katami planned for what he was going to do now that a curveball was thrown his way in the grand scheme of things. He was always willing to see what curveballs would be thrown at him, and prepare accordingly. He prepared for any and all possibilities, but that was just the way he learned. Despite all of that, it could be noticed, too, that nothing was impossible for him to do, though the only challenge was time. Time was the biggest factor, and he had to ensure everything was right the way he wanted it, even if it was good enough for his standards. As he planned this, It was meditative for him, in a sense, and Misaki noticed this almost immediately. As she pulled Katsumi closer, he would not care as he meditated. Just in short, he was not disturbed as he did so. This was something he was always willing to accomplish anyway. And this was just something he constantly improved upon. Improving himself through action was on his mind consistently, and it was shown early when Misaki first met him, though she had not understood the entirety of it as of yet. Katsumi, after meditating on this, just read in his room, as he normally did during his days of rest. He did this for the entire day. At the end of the day, when he grabbed a random book off of his bookshelf, Katsumi's fingers traced the spine of an ancient text he had left open. This was a book entitled The Drying of the Hallstatt by the prophet Nakuro of Jinstaria. The ink was faded, the pages brittle, but the words still held the weight of his childhood. Outside his window, the moon cast long shadows across the valley where the Hallstatt River once flowed. For the first time in years, he did not feel the need to write. Not now. He meditated in silence, understanding that the seventh mug was still in motion. He was waiting for his chance to move out before the enforcement was to begin, and afterwards initiating the full pouring of the seventh mug judgment against Wesneth. Misaki pressed her cheek against his shoulder, her breath warm against his neck. "You're thinking about the river, are you not?" she murmured, her voice barely a whisper. Katsumi nodded. "The river had already dried up some time back." He looked up at her before continuing. "I knew the people of the river would leave Wesneth enough to trigger these events that the Viking and I spoke of." He closed the book in the quiet. He did not speak afterwards. He did not need to. The truth was in the silence in which the river's memory and the weight of the seventh mug brought the promise that even in the stillness, the world would be remade. For the first time since the Viking's visit, Katsumi felt no urgency, only a deep, steady rhythm, the pulse of the earth, the slow turning of the moon, the quiet understanding that some things were to be held in silence.